Praise the Lord. So it's been wonderful this time to be here and to see how God is reaching out to us and His Word is being it's coming so fresh to all of our hearts. We are being enriched. We are being strengthened. We are being drawn closer to Him. It's truly a wonderful experience to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who just beautifully takes over. And we just need to flow alongside with Him and see how wonderfully He reaches out into our life. So let's continue from where we left off this morning. We talked about this personal transformation of the Holy Spirit, that the problem of the self, that is in us, and that needs to be dealt with. The self has to be dealt with. There is no place for the ego. Let's be very clear about it. Okay, can somebody read Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3? Colossians 3:3. For you have died. You have died. For you are dead. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Unless Christians come to this place of I am finished. I am dead. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. But then it is Christ now who lives. It is in Him I live. It is in Him I live and move and have my being. Can we read Acts chapter 17 and verse 28? Acts 17:28. Loudly, ma.
For in Him we live and move and have our being. Mm. As certain also of the old poets have said, for we are also His offspring.
For in Him we live and move and have our being. Okay, so we are dead. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. In Him we live and move and have our being. This is the experience of each one of us, and this is the experience of the church. The church is therefore is being sanctified and clear, and God is cleansing her with the washing of water by His word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So this is how God is seeing us, and we need to fall in line with God and say, Lord, take us. Lord, we as a church, we offer ourselves to you. We just want to be there as that bride. Okay, now when He takes us as the bride, He sends us out into the world. Okay, this is the glorious thing. God says the bride is not just going to be a bride who's sitting inside and looking after herself. The bride is to be sent out, and that is the task that is there ahead of us. Okay, so the church is the one that is now going out to produce good works. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always abounding. Now the bride must know, Lord, the Holy Spirit is empowering us, dealing with the ego. But now we are not just here, dealing with ourselves. We are here to move out. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, how does this happen? What is it that God wants us to do? How do we move out and do what God has called us to do? What is this work? What is it that God is expecting of us? Is what we're going to try and understand in this session. And this is Okay. The church must realize we are not only the gathered church. We are also the scattered church, isn't it? We are scattered church. So we gather for worship, we gather for the word, we gather for prayer, we gather for nurture, we gather for several things, but we don't remain gathered. We just don't remain gathered. We realize that church has got to be gathered church as well as the scattered church. We go out there. And when you go out there, each of you, when you go out there into your workplaces, into your spheres, into your domains, into wherever God has kept you, in whatever place God has kept you, you are church. You don't stop being church. You are church there. You are the bride of Christ there. There you live out the glorious life. You live the life of the Spirit of God. You're so full of the Spirit of God in your workplace, where there may be challenges, where there may be difficulties. There you are not just overwhelmed by those problems. You know, many of us go there and get so hurt and get so troubled, and we want to rush back to church. Oh, brother, pastor, please pray for me. I'm struggling out there. The church is sending out and empowering you and sending you, go out there and truly demonstrate this power of the Holy Spirit. Church must realize, no, Lord, we will not let go of those places. Those domains are the places where you now bring kingdom. You bring kingdom rule there. You don't let that situation overwhelm you. I talk to so many young people, especially who are out in the marketplace, who are out in the IT field, and you know, they are talking, Uncle, the work pressure is too much. I am getting stressed out. I'm saying, what is this stress you're talking about? You should be the giant there. You should be so in charge of the situation. You are rising above the situation. Then I see many of our young people are only struggling. We are only getting hurt. Oh, I have this problem. That boss is very bad. He is pressurizing me. I'm doing this. And we are living such defeated, mediocre existence. Just surviving. And our relationship with God, oh Lord, please protect me. Lord, save me. God is saying, come on, church. Your church there. Bring kingdom. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to go out there and bring church. We are gathered church as well as the scattered church. That is how we must see it. This is God's design for His church. Okay? And so, God has given us a work to do. And so right in the beginning, again, I just love going back to Genesis, because to me, as I look at Genesis, the pattern is given there. The framework has been put in place there. So if we have to understand our life, if we understand how do we need to live, how do we need to function, you got to keep going back to Genesis, got to keep going back to creation. How did it all start? How was it that God set up the system and put the system and the pattern in place? So Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Okay, so when I go out there, I'm scattered church, I'm the gathered church as well as the scattered church. But when we go out there as scattered church, what are we supposed to do? This is the bottom line. This is the principle, and this is Genesis 2:15. To put him in the garden to work it and keep it. Now, when you look at that verse, it doesn't sound anything great. Work it and keep it. Okay, fine. Adam was supposed to do that. Work it and keep it. What is so special here? I want to give you some meanings here when you look at those two words. Now, what is the meaning of those two words? Work it and keep it. Okay. Now, the word work comes from a Hebrew word called abad. You can note it down. Abad. A-B-A-D. That is the Hebrew word for the word work. Okay. So, when you go out there and you say, I'm church here. I'm not only the gathered church. We are the scattered church. We go there and we work. Work is not just the way the organization tells you, or the organization places before you, or this is the work you have to do, this is your job responsibility, this is your job description, this is what you're supposed to do, and you're going about doing that work, which is good, which is important. But you go and I go there with this understanding of work. And the work is abad. Okay, and this word abad, this Hebrew word abad, has three meanings. Three meanings. Number one is work. Okay, I'm supposed to work. But the second meaning to this work is, it is worship. When I go and work, I worship God. I say, Lord, this is not just ordinary. I'm not just working for my bread and butter. I'm not just working for survival. I'm not just working so that I can earn an income and go back and look after my family and look after my needs in the home. I work because this is worship to God. And you know, in the Old Testament, when they came to offer offerings to God and worship God, could they give a lame animal? Could they give a blind animal? No. You got to produce and bring the best. You got to offer the best unto God. So you are working because it's a worship to God. And you're excited. You don't go there and, oh, what a boring place. What a horrible place. Which is what the usual politics that happens in our workplaces. This boss is like that. That fellow is like that. Let's just survive. Let's just cut corners. Let's do whatever we want and get away with. No, you'll say, sorry. I worship God here. You will start, really shaking up everything around, because everybody will say, what are you doing? Are you don't have to do this work. You can do something much easier. You can just get along with everything. You say, sorry, I will work because I'm church. I am church. I will worship God here. Friends, it completely reorients our understanding. If we as Christians begin to understand this, you will start shaking your places of work. You will say, people around you will start wondering what's wrong with this person now. This person is beginning to produce something very different, because you are producing work that is worship. You don't worship work. You worship God, but the work is the offering that you bring unto God. And this is what we need to teach our children. Brother, I Dr. Alexis, the whole session this afternoon was powerful in the way he presented it to us. How important it is for us to train our children. What do we tell our children usually? Padida, padida, padida. I mean, what is padi? It's just that you have to study because that you will not get admission into that college. You will not get into that university. You will not get anything. You will just be useless. Look at the neighbor, how that neighbor's son is. All these useless things we tell our children. But if we tell our children, study because you have to worship God. This is not ordinary stuff you're studying. You study because you're doing something, preparing yourself, and you're equipping yourself to bring glory to God. I tell you, I promise you, your children will be the top of the class. In no time, they'll be on top of the class without any problem, because they will not look at their studies as a drudgery, as somehow to survive their exams. That's what I did. And so many of us in our generation, we just survive, just passed exams somehow. But I feel so sad. I wish we had understood this. So that's the second meaning, work. And then the second meaning is worship to God. The third meaning of that word, abad, is when you work, you are serving mankind. So whatever you work, it may be a job in the part of that system of that organization, you're looking, how can I serve mankind through the work that I do? Lord, this is not just worship to God, it is a service to humanity. It's a service to mankind. Imagine if the church understands this and we go out into the workplace and we begin to bring kingdom of God there. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is work of the Holy Spirit. He empowers you. You're living in such joy. You're living in such freedom because you are producing work. That is so important. So that is the first word there. The word is to work it. That is that verse here in... Sorry. To work it, and the second word is keep it. Work it and keep it. Now, what is the meaning? What is the word there? The word keep, another Hebrew word, is the word shamar. Shamar. S-H-A-M-A-R. Shamar. That is the Hebrew word. Keep it. Now, what is the meaning of this word shamar? Shamar has two meanings. The first meaning is, when you keep it, you are obeying God's commandments. Okay, when I work, I will work because I keep God's commandments here. I work as a person of integrity. I will do things which is absolutely on line with what God expects me to do. It will be work that will be obedience to God here. And friends, once we understand this, then our whole way of working will be really people who are saying, it does not matter what standards the organization gives for me. That is very good. I listen to the organization standards, but my standards are God's standards of what I do, the effort I put in, all that I do. It becomes, I do things because I'm keeping God's commandments. The second understanding of that word shamar is not only I keep God's commandments, I look at my workplace and my sphere of influence as a way of stewardship. This is protecting things for the glory of God. This is responsibility to me. I have to be accountable, answerable to God for what God has put in my hand to do. So if you keep these two words, Abad and Shamar, and talk about it at your home. That's why I like what Dr. Alex was saying. This kind of conversation should be there in the home. Why are you studying? Why are you working? What are you doing? Abad and Shamar. Abad and Shamar must come repeatedly in our conversation. I tell you, you and I as God's people, we'll be wonderful people. This is what God is expecting from us. Okay, so this is what we need to keep in mind. Okay, now let's go back. Let's go again to back to Genesis again and look at a format. You know, the Lord is so wonderful. God didn't just create us and gave everything beautiful for us, gave us shalom and all that. God gave us a roadmap. God gave us a roadmap right there in the book of Genesis. A roadmap was given, and this roadmap is Genesis 1:28. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Okay, so right there in Genesis, God gave us a roadmap. And God gave us the way we need to move forward. How do we go out there and become church? And we must ask this question. Lord, how should we be church? God says, answer is there. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them. And so this verse, Genesis 1:28, is what is known as the creation mandate. The creation mandate. Right in the beginning, we got a mandate. Genesis 1:28. Okay, and this is a five-dimensional mandate. When we begin to understand Genesis 1:28, we say, "Prod, what beautiful, what a wonderful thing. God has not just kept us guessing. God says, no, I've given you a mandate. I've given you a roadmap for you to go out there and be church there. As God's people, you're not just gathered, you are the scattered church." So let's now look at each one of them individually, one by one. Okay, first thing is, be fruitful. Fruitfulness. God wants us to be fruitful people. Now, what is fruitfulness? Now, if I ask that question, I'm sure we'll have a lot of answers. What does it mean to be fruitful? But I want to give a very simple answer. Simple way of looking at what is fruitfulness. A tree produces fruit, isn't it? Now, does a tree consume its fruit? Who consumes the fruit of the tree? Tell me. Who consumes the fruit? The tree is not consuming its own fruit. Who consumes it? Others. Others consume it. Everyone. Even the birds, other squirrels maybe. Others. But others consume the fruit. So when I say fruit bearing, when God tells us to be fruit bearing, God says, be a blessing to people. Don't be self-focused. Don't think about you and your safety and your future and your children's future and your generation. Become a blessing to people. Bless others. All the time think of how you can serve people. How you can give of yourself to people. And there are needs around us. There are people around us. There is so much of issues all around us. But we are all the time, you know, our life is all about ourselves. I remember an incident that happened. We were doing a workshop in one church, and we were conducting that workshop. One of our facilitators, she went out from the church premises. She walked out to buy something from the shop, and she was walking back into the church building, premises. And at the gate of the church building, church premises, there was this man sitting there with a bandage in his leg. So as she walked by, she started a conversation with him, and she said, "What happened? Who are you?" And then she asked that man, "What happened to your leg?" And that man said something, and she said something, and she said, "You should apply this ointment and you should do this." Just a simple conversation. And then she walked into the church. This man called her. Said, "Madam, நீங்க எங்க இருந்து வந்திருக்கீங்க? Where have you come from?" She said, "I am come from this place." "என்ன செய்றீங்க?" "I came to do this seminar. This workshop we are conducting." "Madam, I've been sitting here for 20 years. I don't know how many years I've been sitting in this church gate. People have come by cars, gone out by cars. No one has stopped to ask me, what is the bandage on your leg?" No one has asked. they go to church, they worship, they drive out. No one has ever stopped to find out, what is this bandage on my leg? Madam, நீங்க எங்க இருந்து வந்திருக்கீங்க? From where have you come that you shall ask me about my bandage on my leg? There's something different in you. Do you see what I'm saying? You and I, as Christians, we have become so inward looking. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 40 and verse 6. The story about Joseph. Genesis 40 and verse 6.
When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were upset. He asked them, why do you look so worried today?
Okay, now very simple conversation. We would have passed that verse. Joseph simply asked them, why are you so sad today? But just focus on that situation. What was Joseph's situation? Joseph has been falsely implicated. Wrong thing has been put on Joseph. He has been falsely accused. He's been put in the dungeon. Joseph has no hope. Joseph has no contacts. His family has given up on him. Joseph's life is finished. And he is looking at himself and saying, I'm full of issues. I'm full of problems. Joseph could have been so immersed in himself, in his own issues. And he would have said, God, you have forsaken me, Lord. I was righteous. I did what was good. And Lord, you ignored me. Then comes these two fellows. And they are looking. Joseph could have walked by and said, "Arey, I am sad. You know, I have been hurt. I have been wrongly implicated. Why at all should I bother for these two fellows?" Joseph stops there and says, why are you both fellows looking sad? Simple question. Why are you looking sad? That's what Joseph asked. What was the answer? They told Joseph the whole story, their dreams. Joseph interpreted. What was the outcome? You all know the story. If Joseph had walked by, I want you to just imagine, if Joseph had walked by those two men and said, I don't care. Why? I am full of problems myself. I have so many issues myself. Why should I be concerned about these two men who are sad? They are sad, they are sad. That's their problem. That's what's happening to us. This is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is saying, I'm not going to be self-focused. I'm going to start looking at the needs of people around me. You start being fruitful, God will open your eyes. God will show you people. God will show you concerns. God will show you issues that till now you have just walked by. You were the priest and the Levite who walked by. But fruitfulness is saying, I'll start looking at others. And when you start looking at us, God will raise you up. Then your ministry will begin. Then your ministry will really start, because you're no more looking at yourself. You're beginning to look at others. Now tell me, is fruitfulness, being fruit bearing, is it optional or is it a mandate for the church? Huh? Are you sure? Matthew chapter 7 verse 19. Quickly. Matthew.
Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
Tree does not bear fruit, cut and put into the fire. The branch that does not bear fruit is cut and thrown into the fire. The branch that bears fruit, he will prune. There's a difference. He will prune it so that it will bear more fruit. But the branch that is not bearing fruit, fire. If your life and my life, please decide. This is the roadmap given in Genesis. If the church has not followed this roadmap, we are in serious trouble. First step in the roadmap is fruitfulness. If fruitfulness itself is not there, what are you church for? You don't need to exist. Again, an illustration. A man, one of my friends, this is actually a real thing that happened. A friend of mine was invited to speak in a church. He arrived in that bus stop and he asked, there's some name of the church. So he asked the auto fellow, this is the church I have to go. And that fellow was blinking, I've never heard this church. I've never heard this name. So that auto fellow went and asked other auto fellows, sir, where is this church? Nobody said, you don't know. I don't know this church. Then somebody, I think I know somewhere there. And so he got into the auto. Finally, with a lot of difficulty, he reached that place. And then he went to give the message. He said, I came to give a message. I'm not going to give that message. If the auto rickshaw fellow doesn't know your church better close down. Why do you exist? If the auto rickshaw fellow doesn't know who you are, doesn't know there's a church like this there, why are you there? Is it for your own joy and worship and being very happy with yourself? You are there because there's an auto fellow there. There's an auto rickshaw fellow there who's hurting. That's why you are church. And friends, the church must begin to completely reorient itself. We are here to bear fruit. If we don't bear fruit, we will be cut down, thrown into the fire. Okay? I hope this is registered. Deep inside, Lord, from now on, Shama Tabernacle Church will be a fruit-bearing church. Lord, we will. Yes, you are fruit-bearing. Praise God. Many things you are doing. Now, energize yourself. Lord, we are no more just going to be gathered. Lord, we will be scattered church, full of the Holy Spirit to bear fruit. Number two is that we will multiply. Now, fruit-bearing is one thing. What is multiplication? The tree, again, going back to the tree illustration, the tree bears fruit, which is a blessing to others, right? But in that fruit that the tree bears, within the fruit, there is a seed. And what does the seed do? It multiplies the fruit. So you and I cannot be just satisfied to be fruit bearers. We must multiply the fruit bearers. Okay, disciple making, that is the Great Commission. The Great Commission is not just about making converts. The Great Commission is about making fruit bearers. Multiply, get more people. How many people have you raised in the last 2022? How many? Can you count? Can you identify? Who are the people that you actually invested into? And said, I want to nurture this person. I want to build up this person. This person is no more going to be stagnant. I'm going to make sure this person, this young man, is going to bear fruit. How many have you done that? And I'm challenging you for 2023. Set a goal. Lord, this year, two people, three people, I'm going to invest. I'm going to multiply, Lord. This is the task of the church. Lord, we have not just gathered, we are scattered church. We will multiply. So, God has given us, there are a lot of verses, you know, when you talk about this, I would like us to look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1, 27, 28. Anybody? Colossians 1, 27, 28. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, then.
This gives you assurance of sharing his glory.
Mm.
So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all the wisdom God has given us. We want to
present everyone
God perfect
in Christ Jesus. This is the ministry of Paul. I will admonish people. I will work with people. I will get into the lives of people. Because we want to present everybody perfect in Christ Jesus. Disciple making. Multiplication. So the roadmap that is given to the church, as we understand, we are not just gathered, we are scattered church, is first of all to be fruitful, and the second is to multiply. Okay, fruitful multiplication. Understood. Now come to the third part. God says, fill the earth. Now what is this filling the earth? The filling the earth understanding is occupy. God wants us to occupy. That means every occupation is God's. There is nothing called secular. This is not secular. Every field is God's place. It is sacred place. It is not a world's place. That is sacred place. Today the world, the devil is in control there. He is manipulating situations. That is why God sends us there to chase him out and bring God's kingdom into that sphere. Okay, so our task is to occupy. Read Luke 19 and verse 13. This is about the parable of the 10 minas. That, you know, this rich man, he called his 10 servants and gave them one mina each. So let's read that. Luke 19 and verse 13.
He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come.
Occupy. This is what it means to fill the earth. There is a task for us to look at our workplaces as God's place. He's sending us out there to occupy those places. And when the master returns, He will take account. What did you do with that one mina? I told you to occupy with it. And you all know the story very well. The person who did not work, who gave back that one mina, God said he's a wicked servant, unprofitable servant, throw him out. And the one who has done work and has produced work, God said, you now have rule over 10 cities. You know, God wants to measure our faithfulness to him in the kind of work that we do in our spheres. Because that is not secular, that is the sacred place. I'm working as unto God. So our occupations are very important. And we look at that place as God's place and we occupy that place for the glory of God. Then not only do we occupy, we subdue it. So that place where we occupy, the word subdue means to harness or to conquer. So we are not just people who work in different places or occupy different places. We are men and women who are men and women who harness that place, who conquer that place. Or in other words, you know your subject very well. If there is a somebody comes into your organization or to your office and says, in this particular area, in this particular department, who's the man, who's the woman who knows things, they should point to you. You want to know what goes on here? Do you know how things run here? Do you want to know how things operate here? This is the person. This person will tell you how things work because you have a full knowledge of what goes on. We need to be men and women who are subject matter specialists. Specialists. And we all need to understand this. You are worship. Remember, again, go back to that word Abad and Shamar. Keep those two words always in mind. We do that kind of work and we're saying, Lord, I'm occupying here because this is place I will be a person of excellence. Look at this example of Daniel. We all know, very familiar with Daniel's stories, isn't it? Look at this. Daniel chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. How was Daniel? In a very hostile environment, isn't it? People were against him. So many enemies. 120. 119 people were against him. Here was Daniel. Look at how his life was. Can we read that? Daniel 6, 3 and 4.
Then this Daniel was preferred above presidents and princes.
He was preferred above the others, okay, by the king.
Because an excellent spirit was
found in him. The king thought of setting Daniel over the whole realm. That means in terms of governance, in terms of running the nation, one man knew the job. Daniel. If I want a man to run this government, I'm going to pick on Daniel. Friends, in your workplace, when your organization is looking for person to handle a tough assignment, difficult assignment, do they look at you? Your rank, your position, your title, your designation may be anywhere in the whole structure of the organization. It doesn't matter. But it comes to a tough assignment. Do they look to you and say, that lady will do it. Whatever it is, she knows the work. She'll get it done. That kind of life is what God expects from us as church. We are scattered church to be like that. Tell me, go further. So these enemies, when they saw that the king was inclined to set Daniel over the whole realm, these enemies got really upset. Well, let's find something against Daniel. So what happened?
They could find that occasion nor fault.
They could not find any fault. Can we repeat this in another translation? It comes out better in some other, say, NIV or NKJV. Anybody?
They could not find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy.
He was trustworthy, neither corrupt nor negligent. Man, women who are men of excellence in our workplaces. Today, you know, we were talking again this morning. There is a big gap at the top places. Whether in industry, whether in government, whether in private sector, whether in business. You know, we seem to be missing there. Others are all occupying, but we are missing. We are not there in those top decision-making levels. Today, if all kinds of terrible things are happening in the government and the government is doing many things, my question is, where are the people of God? It's okay, brother. I'll manage. Yeah, thank you. So I'm asking, where are those top people? They are here. They are in the church. They are in our homes. The top people for our nation are in our homes. They are our children. We should have raised up giants, Daniels and Josephs and Nehemiahs and Esthers from our homes. Send them out there and say, look, take this nation. You need to be right on top. Because you need to be man and woman of excellence. So, that was the fourth one. The word is, for be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Okay, fourth one. Then the fifth step in the roadmap that God has given to us is dominion. Have dominion. Now, dominion is a huge position. I've been talking about it right from my first session. Huge position. Why dominion is huge? Because today, the devil is ruling. So when God sends out the church, the Lord is saying, overthrow the enemy, send the enemy out and bring God's rule. Thy kingdom come. Don't we pray that prayer? Thy kingdom come. What else? What do we pray? Thy will be done on? On earth. I don't know whether we really mean it at all. What are we praying? Thy kingdom come on earth. Lord, we are the ones who are going to bring in your kingdom. When you step in there and bring the kingdom where that fellow is ruling, do you think he's going to move out easily? Come. You come and rule. Will he do that? No. He will resist you tooth and nail. His fangs will come out. Oh, you come here to bring God's dominion? I'll show you. Till now you were in the church. I didn't trouble you. You are happily worshipping. You are happily having good time in church. I didn't trouble you. You are now come to my territory. You are coming here to bring kingdom of God. Here, kingdom rule of God. I will show you. His teeth will come out. Then the church realizes we are now in serious business. This is dominion. God, I'm going to talk about it tomorrow in my last session on what does it mean to bring God's rule, God's dominion. This is the entire work of the Holy Spirit. Friends, I hope you understand this. Okay, so the screen is not there. I mean, the slide is not up there. But five dimensions. Can you tell me by memory what are the five dimensions of the creation mandate? Number one, fruitful. Number two, multiply. Number three, fill the earth. Number four, subdue the earth. Then have dominion. Don't forget. What are the four dimensions of shalom?
God.
Wholesome relationship with God, wholesome relationship with self, neighbor, creation. You remember that? Four dimensions of shalom and five dimensions of the creation mandate. Once again, creation mandate, five dimensions. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. Get excited. Get excited. Lord, thank you. Thank you. The roadmap is there. Lord, we have no excuse. We cannot tell God, Lord, what are we supposed to do by scattered church? God says, there's a roadmap. Follow the roadmap. And you will bring God's kingdom. You will bring in the kingdom rule of God. Okay. Is it going to come up? Yes. I need to show the screen because I have some quotations I want you all to look at. That's why I have to wait for that. Otherwise, I'll just... But before it comes up, the LCD and the PowerPoint, anyone has any questions of what I have shared so far? This is the scattered church. Any doubts? Anything you want to clarify?
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
Can we always expect excellence in all believers in the workplace? Because I consider myself, I've not been excellent. I've been average, a little above average. But in terms of integrity and the values, I've stood up. But I have not really been the top. So how do I view that?
Yeah, good question. Very good question. See, when I'm talking about excellence, excellence is not measured against somebody there in your workplace versus this person or against this person. Am I doing better? That's not the point. The point of excellence here is faithfulness. You are faithful to God to the best in the way that you know the work that has to be done. And if you don't know a certain work in your workplace, you are not sure of how to do things, be open to God. God, I don't know how to handle this problem, this situation, this particular issue is on my table. I'm supposed to get this done, but Lord, I don't know. Is it difficult for us to ask? I think one brother, somebody came and talked about it yesterday. Have the humility to go to God and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your guidance. Lord, open and show to me. God will guide you. And so you see, when your heart is there to move things the way God wants you to do, you are a man and woman of excellence there. To what amount of abilities and talents and skills and potentials that God has put into your heart, into your life. Okay, good. Okay. So, this is a statement by Abraham Kuyper. Abraham Kuyper was once the Prime Minister of Netherlands, and this is what Abraham Kuyper has said. In the total expanse of human existence, there is not a single square inch of which Christ, who alone is sovereign, does not declare that is mine. In the total expanse of human existence, there is not a single square inch of which Christ, who alone is sovereign, does not declare that is mine. Coming from the words of a prime minister makes a lot of sense, makes so much of sense to us. He's telling this is what we are here for. Okay, next one is Bishop Leslie Newbegin. Bishop Leslie Newbegin was the CSI Bishop of Chennai Diocese. I was a small boy. I remember Bishop Leslie Newbegin in Chennai speaking in beautiful Tamil. You know, excellent Tamil for a British man to speak. But I remember Bishop Leslie Newbegin like that. Look at what he has said. Ordinary Christians working in business, industry, politics, factory work and so on are the church's frontline troops. Frontline troops in her engagement with the world. Scattered church. Bishop of the CSI diocese is telling us that. Then this one is what so excites me, is the last one is the third Billy Graham. I believe one of the next great moves of God is going to be through the believers in the workplace. The next great move of God, believers in the workplace, scattered church. And this is what God has intended for us. Okay, let's keep that in mind. How am I on time? 15 minutes. Okay, great. Okay. So when we look at again, I think somebody talked about this, the evangelical mindset. I think maybe Pastor Elias began with it, I'm not sure. But what happens is the worldview, when you talk about the worldview, we have two boxes. Oh, okay. This is the problem with evangelicals. We have this dichotomized worldview. Okay, dichotomized worldview. So we have one box, which is the spiritual box. So in the spiritual box, we'll put all our spiritual matters here. Faith, theology, spiritual disciplines, devotions, evangelism, Sunday, spiritual warfare, etc., etc. All these is in one box. And then we have this other box, which is called the secular box. Spiritual box and a secular box. Work, science, business, social justice, politics, mass media, weekdays. That is all secular, sir. That is another box. And we have, you know, we have mastered a particular art in the church. We have what is the art that we have mastered is we know how to switch boxes. We are very smart in switching boxes. Sunday, oh, we will be in this one box. Monday onwards, another box. And we know how to move those boxes. We are so good. Friends, this is the problem with evangelical dichotomized worldview. Let's move this out and bring in the truth worldview. The truth worldview. Hi. Can we get that slide? Have I closed that slide by mistake, Diana? There's a slide after that. After the dichotomized worldview, there should be a slide which says truth worldview. It's not there at all? Okay. Somehow. Okay, the truth worldview basically is that partitioning is gone and there's only one box. Okay, the truth worldview. So we have one box. We have operate on one box. And inside that box, that one box is everything. So our whole life is one single continuous relationship with God. We are full of the Holy Spirit. We operate in the dimension of the Holy Spirit, in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, in the workplace where God has kept us. And it is the Spirit of truth that operates through us. And so this is the worldview that we need to have. Okay. And then we are, therefore, we become the wise regents of God. We are people whom God has set up. Genesis 1:26 created us in their image in order for us to have rule, in order for us to have dominion. So this is what God is calling us as His church. Okay, so the church is not just the gathered church. The church is the scattered church. Okay, and we will go to the next session tomorrow. Tomorrow when we take it up, we are going to talk about the dominion part. How do we go? Because that is the challenge. When we go out there to bring dominion, that is where the enemy is going to be upset. And we need to know as church, how do we engage the enemy and bring in, you know, the kingdom rule of God, which is what the church is here for. Full of the Holy Spirit to bring in God's kingdom and God's rule. Okay, so let me close in prayer. And then open it up for some discussion, some time of anyone has any questions on this. George asked a question, but others may also have something to ask or clarify, or you have something to add to what I've said. You could also do that. Let's just pray first. Father, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you for this time, for speaking to us, Lord, of what it means, Lord, not just to be the gathered church. We are also, Lord, to be the scattered church, to go out there. And thank you, Master, for this beautiful roadmap, the cultural creation mandate, Lord, that you have given to us. And Father, we cannot give any excuse. Lord, we cannot avoid this. We cannot just run away from what we are here for, what we are supposed to do. Lord, when this is so beautifully given to us, Lord, we are here to fulfill this task, Master, in the enablement of the Holy Spirit, in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, knowing that we are God's people to bring God's kingdom rule here on earth. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We worship you, Lord. Father, Lord, we just surrender ourselves into your hand. Lord, take us and use us powerfully, Master, especially as we enter this new year of 2023. Lord, let this year be something very special, very unique, very different. Because, Lord, now we understand that we are scattered church. We are there, out there, Master. Lord, where things may be difficult, but there we experience the abundant working of God. Father, we give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing for us to be afraid. We are not going to think, oh, this is going to be difficult. No, it's not about any difficulty, because it's not about us. Lord, it's not about us. It is your work. It is your work, Lord. And we just offer ourselves into your hand. Lord, as channels, as instruments, Lord, take us. Let your work happen through us, Lord, as your church. Father, we give you all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, anyone has any questions or anything you want to add or clarification, anything? Yes, brother. Yeah, 1 minute. Yeah.
Why do you call it the cultural mandate also?
Very good. Very good question. So it's a creation mandate, and it's also cultural, because you see what has happened is today we have kind of accepted the culture. We, you know, the culture around us dictates our life. Oh, this is how society runs. For example, you know, in average conversation in our Christian circles, ayyo, can't be done. India cannot be done. Fellow has to be paid bribe. Without paying bribe, it cannot be done. You know, we have accepted the culture. This is how India's culture is. This is how things will happen. You have to pay money. You have to pay bribe. Then, brother, all this is nice to talk in church. It won't work there. Brother, that's a different culture there. That is where you and I bring God's culture. We are not just people who sit and say, oh, it's very difficult. We move out there and change the culture. Change the culture and say, no. We will be honest people. There will be righteousness. We will bring in righteousness. You see, when that kind of life happens, then it's very different. So we know this, that, okay, brother, when you talk of culture, we are talking of several things. For example, what is so, you know, very common to us in South India is the dowry system. You know, it is part of our culture. We say, oh, culture is like that. Our job as God's people to say, sorry, I will not just succumb to this culture. It's a useless culture. Why should I give dowry or take dowry? No, I won't do it. From our, again, raising up our children, right from their young age, talk about it in your conversations. Dowry is not, no way on, no. For us as God's people, we will bring God culture in each of these issues. So if you look at it, Vinod, there are so many such bondages. So many such, and we have kind of said that is how culture is. No, we got to just live here. We had to somehow survive it. No, we'll say no. We are God's people. We will change culture. So when you follow the roadmap, the culture begins to get set right. Okay? Yes, Anna.
Brother, you said that in our workplace, like we should be at the top at every level. Like I'm just giving an example of a place where I'm working in. Though I joined the hospital many years back, most of the doctors who came after me have gone far ahead of me. Now, one of the reasons is like I have said, please give me Sunday off. Like I need to go to church. My husband is a pastor. But what has happened is people capitalize on Sunday. You know, like earlier when the hospital started, there was no opening on Sunday, things like that. But when other hospitals started Sunday, our hospital was supposed to be a full OP on Sunday. Second, as an ophthalmologist, we have a lot of camps on Sundays. So only those who go for camps are allowed to do surgery. So I said, I'm not doing surgery, get me out of it. Then endless conferences on Sunday. And they put rules. You have to attend so many conferences, then only you get CME credit. If you don't get so many credit, you lose your registration. So I pulled out of everything. So to some extent, I'm rock bottom. But I'm at peace with God,
very good,
peace with my family. Like I said, I want time with my family. I will work from this time after they let me off. So like they sort of refer to me, oh, she won't come for this, she won't come for that, she won't come for conferences, she'll be at the rock bottom. So professionally, I've not been able to go up. So how can a believer, like all the other doctors, they are ready. Anytime, Sunday, middle of the night, anytime, they're all ready to come. But I'm not ready for that.
Okay.
So then, that way I have not gone up. Not that I'm sad about it, but how do we, you know, when you said we should be up,
yeah,
as a believer, sometimes we can't comply with everything they say.
Very good. Yeah. Thank you, Anna. Thank you. Wonderful. Very nice point that you have raised. How do I respond to you? Now, you see, when I say be at the top, not all of us will get, like as you said, not all of us are going to get promoted. But the fact that you are a person of excellence, your work is exemplary, and they know it. And they, when they look for someone who is reliable and trustworthy and who could do the get the work done, are you the person that they look up to?
Yeah, that they know.
Yeah.
But say professionally, I've not gone up at all.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, we are here to do the work as unto God. That is what the word abad is. Our work is a worship unto God. And in terms of exactly where to draw the line is something I cannot say into your profession. Nobody, only you are the one who is right in the heat of it, in the heat of the situation. You need to discern where to draw the line. Okay, and that for which you need the Holy Spirit's wisdom. Lord, where should I say yes? Where should I say no? Because nobody from outside can tell you, you know, this is how you should be. No one, because that's something where you have to find out. But when you are in tune with God and you're being led by the Holy Spirit, the Lord will help you to take a stand and say, this is sorry, I cannot cross this particular line. And stay with it, and you have been there, and God has used you. I'm sure God has used you in reaching many people, isn't it? In that kind of environment, people have come to you and they have talked to you, and you have counseled people, you have touched people, and you know, rising up. Some of us may become like Daniels, whom God will raise up. Others may not get raised up. It's okay. You know, God, it's the promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west. It's the Lord who gives promotion. Okay, can we read this verse? Colossians chapter 3. 23 and 24. Colossians 3, 23, 24. Anybody?
Whatever you do, do it.
Am I over my time, brother? Fine, okay. Yeah.
Whatever you do, do it.
All your heart.
As though you were working for the Lord and not for human beings.
Then?
Remember that the Lord will give you as a reward.
He will reward you.
What he has kept for his people.
Okay. The reward will come from the Lord. Promotions will come. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, not unto men. For you work unto the Lord, you know. And so, we are joyful. And promote, you know, I'm coming from the marketplace. And Raj comes from the marketplace. We know. When there will be politics. There will be politics. There will be fellows who do all kinds of... Doesn't matter. You play your politics. Yeah. I'm least bit bothered. I work for the Lord. And when the Lord wants to promote you, He will promote you. But I'm saying, that whole basic concept that your workplace is sacred. That fundamental mindset is where I feel is lacking in our upbringing of our children. Because the kind of motivation that we have given to our children is again that numericals. All success is all numerical success. That is what we have told the children. But if we tell the children, no, you are preparing yourself to be for God. You are going to bring God's rule there and kingdom there. Then you are raising giants for the kingdom of God. Some of us may get positioned at top places. Some of us may not. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Where you are shining for God. Does it, is it okay, Anna?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brother, can I say something?
Yes, please.
To God, as Mrs. Jessel,
yeah.
Said, actually, when I came here, like you came to, actually, when I came to Ernakulam city, I rented a house and stayed there. So there, the lady was a very old lady. So they were asking where the church I'm going and kind of they were questioning me. So I said that I go here. Then one day she was sharing about her sicknesses and diseases. She talked about an eye sickness and how she went to Dr. Anayas, how she treated her, how long she
Wow. Hey, yeah, give us that's awesome, awesome, praise God.
They talked about her care, and they identified her as a godly person.
Praise God.
And all these things. And not only that, then my father's brother lived here in Kadavandra. When I went there, they also asked me which church that I go. And there also, they were like, while talking like, one day they came and I said, yeah, I know, I'm in my ideas. Then she again, the same testimony they talked that very caring, and very good ophthalmologist, they can trust and go. And then
hallelujah, hallelujah. That's the impact. That is impact.
And I never heard about any other ophthalmologist except.
Okay, okay. So I'm saying, you see, if Christians had this kind of a testimony, and this is how we see ourselves, you know, going out as church, gathered, not just gathered church, but say church is scattering us, sending us out there. Wow, Lord, it's exciting. 7 days. Total, as Raj says, there's no time when you're not in available. You're full time for God all the time. Yes, anyone else? Yes, sir.
You said that they overthrow the enemy.
Yes, sir.
Jesus has already overthrown the enemy.
Correct. That's true. Yeah. So Jesus has done the job. But now when you go out there, he's still ruling. He's still ruling because he's ruling by deception. He's a liar. He's a liar and a deceiver. The world does not know that the devil has been defeated on the cross. So now that message that the devil has been defeated on the cross, it is for the church to bring that message into the world and tell the devil, you get out. We have come. We will bring God's rule here now. He wants to keep that. You read 2 Corinthians 4:4. What does he do? He blinds people's eyes. Read that. Minds. Minds of the people are second Quran.
Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them.
That's what he's doing. He has blinded their minds. And our job is to open people's minds. Because when we live like, you know, testimonies as God's people, they will begin to ask you, why are you different? Then you have an opportunity to share, there is a God of heaven and earth whom I worship. It is Him I long to please. I am not worried about anything else. Then the blindfolds are taken away. The devil has to run. So the victory has been given on the cross. Now it is our job to bring the victory into the world. We'll talk about it tomorrow. How the church has to bring the victory into the world. Yes. Anyone else? One last question. If you have anybody. Yes, brother.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So
thank you. Adding to the points we have here, whatever I have here today, by God's grace, by the Spirit of God, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I could do it 100% for the last 32 years of Prakriti Buddha. And last November, I just retired. When I joined in Tranco, I was a trainee engineer. After 32 years, when I passed out, I was Deputy General Manager Operations, Deputy General Manager Projects, and Technical Advisor to TMD, and Technical Head of IT, then ISIMR. All these designations was there when I was retiring together. So they put it as DGM Projects and operations and technical advisor to MD. The principal secretary came to Traco and saw exclusive designation given by MD. What is this technical advisor to MD? I said it is given by initial previous MD. Subsequently, another MD came. This MD also doing it specially for that. So I was sitting all the departments. During the retirement, all my colleagues, particularly the lady colleagues, they were telling that we had our eldest brother in Traco who was taking care of us. And I was the chairman of the sexual harassment committee in the Traco Cable Company Limited, which was put by the management, selected me as the chairman of workplace harassment committee chairman. Okay. Apart from that, by God's grace, I could get all the departments and I could go and help other departments also. Though I am not an IT person, I was having special interest, though I am a mechanical engineering, and I could head IT department when I was retiring. I could hold other department responsibilities. And during that retirement, I was given time to speak. And chairman came exclusive. Normally chairman will not be coming, only MDs will be there at the retirement time. This chairman exclusively came from Idiki just to give me the set off for that. And everybody was asking, what is the reason for your honesty and integrity and everything? And we have never seen such a person in Traco. This was even told by the chairman. I said only one word, Colossians 3:23. And I could preach for 14 minutes to the entire Traco officers and the management what I was doing. I said, I don't need a boss. I don't need my colleagues. I don't need my subordinates to be truthful and honesty with integrity and responsibility and accountability, because my Lord is watching to me. And by God's grace, I could do it for the last 32 years. Not even a single day was passed on without any integrity and dishonesty. And I was given charge of purchase, I was given charge of planning, I was given in charge of marketing. Then finally, projects. Finally, when I was retiring, I was given in charge of the operations, projects and requirements. And I entered into a mechanical department for maintenance. Then I was put into purchase. Subsequently, I was transferred to head office. So this will definitely happen once we do it as if we are doing it to the law. And I thankful to the family, because I used to carry files to my home and I used to work. And they were permitting. And they were prayerfully permitting. Even if the camp was here, if I am not retiring yet, I don't think I would have participated today, because today being Saturday, I'd work up 6 of them. So only Saturday is a holiday. And I used to take no leave. Even all the leaves will be unreadied. Because so many things are carried, I cannot take a leave more than 2 or 3 days. So that was the responsibility given by management with faith. Really, I am appreciating the Spirit of God and the guidance. And out of 32 years, I was associating with the church, with this church, 25 years. Okay, it's God's given gift. And from the moment I entered Ernakulam, I was associating with the churches. And it is because of the fellowship and the word of God and the communion with the Holy Spirit, and the fear of God. Nothing else, fear of God helped us.
Thank you so much. Praise God. Okay. Wonderful. So, brother, over to you. Next session. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Praise the Lord. As we continue, we will have one song now, and then we will move into the next session. Yeah.